Tresher is Masechta Zvachim, Daf Ayin Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Amar Papa. As we had learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek, the Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek taught us that if an animal that is Asr Behanoah, or an animal that Shenev Debar Aveira, becomes mixed together with numerous other animals that are fine, that are kosher, still that animal that's usher does not become bottle. And the Gemara, beginning already in the previous year, is attempting to understand why. So in our previous year, the Gemara introduced us to the concept of Eshedarka Limnos and Kol Shedarka Limnos. So the Gemara, Kol Shedarka Limnos means something which is normally sold piece by piece. And according to the opinion of Reish Lakish, as long as there's an item which is normally sold piece by piece, that doesn't become bottle. And therefore we can easily understand the opinion of our Mishnah. Because animals are certainly such items that are sold typically piece by piece. But our Gemara also quoted in our previous year the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan says that in order for something not to be bottled, it has to be something that is never, that is always sold piece by piece. There's never a time where it's not sold by piece by piece. Animals don't fall into that category. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, asked the Gemara, how will we understand our Mishnah? To which Amra Papa, that's where we begin today's shir, Amra Papa, Hai Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, Tana the Litrik Tziyasu, is the Tana of the Mishnah, is one of the Tanoim, in the Mishnah of Litrik Tziyasu. Litrik Tziyasu, as we'll see, means dried fruit, dried figs. Dama, he is of the opinion, called of a shesh b'minyan, anything that's sold piece by piece, and as Rishonim point out, this is even a stricter opinion, as long as it's normally sold piece by piece, not even as much as Rabbi Yochanan said, which Rabbi Yochanan in our previous shia said it has to be eshedak alimnois, kol shedak alimnois is even less frequently sold piece by piece. According to him, I feel with Rabbanon loy bottle, even when it's a situation of a drabonon, it doesn't become bottle. And certainly, kashkein, certainly when we're dealing with a deraisa, does not become bottle. So therefore, in our Mishnah, where we're dealing with the issue of a deraisa, the animal is also behanabah mid deraisa, or it's nevdabah avera, is a deraisa, and therefore will not become bottle. Says the Mardetanya, where do we find this issue discussed? A word of introduction. In the times of Chazal, normally figs were processed in the following manner. First, they were spread out in the field to dry. After they were spread out in the field to dry, they would bring an instrument called a mektsoya, which was used to cut the figs and remove their stems. At that point, they're called ketsiyos. And then figs were pressed into an egoil, a deep round mold, which made them stick together and look like a round cake. At this point, they're called igulei dvela, and these igulei dvela were taken to the store, like a round mold, and people who would want to buy figs would buy, they would cut off from that mold pieces of figs. Says the Gemara, Litra Ketzia Shidarsa Api Igul, where a litra of dried fruits, of dry figs, which were truma, were molded into a cake, into a round mold, and it was put up, and v'eni dei b'ezigul darsa. And we don't know exactly which is the cake of truma figs. Api chavis. And now, this cake of figs was put on top of a barrel, v'eni dei b'ezigul chavis darsa. But we don't know on top of which barrel this cake is. Cake of figs. Or a bee kaveris, or it's top of a beehive, of a basket hive. Beni Dei Be'ezek Kaveris Darsa, and we don't know on top of which basket do we have this mold of Truma. Remei Oimer, Remei says that there's a Machloikis Tanom what to do here. That according to Rebbe Lezer Oimer, Roinus El Yonis Kilan Prudos, we don't look at this mold of dried figs of Truma as if they're on top, separate from what's on bottom. But we look at all of the figs that are in one basket as all being mixed together, and therefore v'tachtonos malos esalyonos. The way most Rishonim explained the Gemara, what's going to happen here is we're going to look at all of the figs in one basket, even though the cake of figs that is truma is ostensibly separate on top of the barrel. The Chazal allow us to look at them all as one unit, all of the figs in that barrel as one unit, and by looking at all of the figs in that barrel as a unit, if, as we discussed in our previous year, we'll have the proper ratio of 100 to 1, it will become bottle. There are some Rishonim that take an even more lenient view in how to understand this, and their opinion is that, let's say we have more than one barrel here, and we know that the figs are on top of that barrel, it will still be fine. What we're going to say is that we look at the figs in all of the barrels that are in front of us, and if the figs that are in all the barrels in front of us, we have the proper ratio of 100 to 1, we could then combine them to the figs that are truma that we don't know exactly where they that we can't specifically identify. So ask the Rishonim a very obvious question. In our previous year, it was Rameyer who taught us that when we have a chavilei tilson, klayim, don't become bottle. And the way we understood in the previous year is because since chavilei tilson are something that are normally sold by which is sold by piece, it is the opinion of Rameyer that something that's sold by piece doesn't become bottle. Here we're learning that Rameyer says that it does become bottle. How do we understand Rameyer different by Klayim than he is in our Gemara? So I saw a number of approaches in the Rishonim how to reconcile this question. One way of explaining, it's probably the simplest way of explaining, is that there's a difference, a characteristic difference between Chavilei Tilson and Egulei Dveila. That Chavilei Tilson will be considered something that is always sold by piece, whereas a Gulei Dveila are something which is usually sold by piece. And only something like Chavilei Tilson, which is always sold by piece, does Rameyer hold, doesn't become bottle, whereas something which is usually sold by piece, Rameyer will hold, does become bottle. That's one way of explaining it. Another explanation that the Rishonim suggest is that Klayim, we know, are osa b'hanah. Truma is not osa b'hanah. And therefore, since klayim are stricter, that they're even osa b'hanah, that's why they don't become bottle, unlike truma, which Rameyer will hold, can become bottle. Another explanation given by the Rishonim, however, is that the truth is that klayim and truma, bizman hazeh, are all bottle. And the reason that they're all bottle is because only asim drabonim. Because the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, according to that opinion, no longer exists, and therefore the chiyuv klayim in Eretz Yisrael and the chiyuv truma in Eretz Yisrael is only midrabonim. However, by truma of figs, we're actually dealing with two drabonims. Why are we dealing with two drabonims? Number one, fig truma, as we just explained, bizman hazeh, is only midrabbanan. In that way, the same rule applies with klayim. But then there's another point. Klayim, Truma, even in the time of Chazal, was only Derabbanan, Truma fruit. Whereas Klayim, in the time of Chazal, was Osir Midaraisa, and therefore Truma were dealing with two Derabbanans, Klayim were dealing only with one Derabbanan, and that's why Rameyer is stricter with Klayim than he is with Truma. Continues the Gemara, quoting Ramey, quoting the opinion of Yeshua. Yeshua, im yesh me'epumim yalu, he holds that we cannot include the figs that are on the bottom of the barrel, because we know for sure that the figs that are truma are only on the top of the barrel, not on the bottom of the barrel. So to go include them in our consideration makes no sense. Im yesh me'epumim yalu. So if we have 100 barrels, and we know that in the mass of one barrel there is truma, but we just don't know which is that mass. So we have the proper ratio of 100 to 1, therefore it becomes batel. Vimlav, but we don't have the proper ratio of 100 to 1, then the halacha is hapuma mesurim, all the figs in the mass of the barrel will be usur, v'shalayim, and all the figs in the barrel themselves, which we have no question on, are mutara. Ask the Rishonim a very fundamental question. We're learning in our Perek, as we said at the beginning of the Perek, we're learning Perek HaTaruvus. The definition of Taruvus, as the Rishonim, the definition of the word Taruvus means a mixture. So they ask, here, when we have each barrel separate, yes, we don't know in which mouth or which barrel do we have the Truma, but we have all of these barrels separate, how can we consider this a taruvus? That is the question that the Rishonim asked. And I saw two approaches in Rishonim how to respond to this question. One is the approach of the Rashba, that the Rashba says that we don't need to define taruvus as a physical mixture. A taruvus does not necessarily mean, says the Rashba, that they're all physically mixed together. Rather, says the Rashba, that if we have a situation where we don't know where something is, like in our case, we have all these figs in the mouth of the barrel, we just don't know which mouth it is, that is enough for it to be considered a situation of a taruvus. That's one approach. The Rash takes a different approach. The Rash seems to learn that for something to be considered a taruvus, an indeed has to be all mixed together. But says the Rash, what's going to happen here with this person who's processing figs? The person who processes figs ultimately is going to mix all those figs together to sell. So even though currently they're maybe not physically all mixed together, but since ultimately they're going to mix together, the Halacha already views it as a taruvus. What would be the nafkamina between the Rashba and the Rash? The nafkamina would be, let's say all of these figs are not owned by the same individual. If we follow the opinion of the Rashba, it doesn't make a difference that they're not owned all by the same individual. It's still considered a situation of taruvus because we don't know which is which. But according to the Rash, it's only because they're ultimately going to be mixed together is it considered a taruvus. But if it's not owned by the same individual, so they're not all going to be mixed together, they won't be considered a taruvus. Rabbi Huda has a different version of the Machlokes. Yehuda has everybody being stricter. And Yehuda says as follows, that according to Rebbe Lezer, I mean, im yesham kopumim, if we have 100 barrels with figs at the mouth of those barrels, that are fine, yalu, and then we have this one barrel basket, where we don't know with truma figs, it becomes bottle in the 100 to 1 ratios. Vimlaf, if we don't have that proper ratio, hapum masur. Yeshua is the most strict. Afilim yeshem shloish meis pumim. Even we'll have 300 barrels that have in the mass of those barrels perfectly fine figs. And we have one barrel of fig that has in the mass a cake of figs that's not good, that's truma, la yalu. They don't become bottle. why don't they become bottle? For it is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that something which is just normally or sometimes sold by unit, figs are sometimes sold by unit, that is enough for it not to become bottle. So according to this opinion, we very well understand our Mishnah. Animals certainly are something which is more than just sometimes sold by unit. It's actually, as we said earlier, usually sold piece by piece, and therefore certainly according to the opinion of Yeshua, it doesn't become bottle. And since it doesn't become bottle, we understand the Pesach of our Mishnah. The Mara now just brings down the rest of that Braisa. Dars of Eagle. However, if the figs that are truma were put into a mold, the any day the Eid Magam Eagle Dar. So we have a mold that has in a truma, but we don't know where in this mold is the truma. Or the tzvoin or the drum is in the north side of the mold, is on the south side of the mold. So since we have one mold, this fits all the requirements that we've been discussing. And in that mold we have truma. If we have the proper ratio, everybody will agree that this is not something that the fig within a mold is not considered something that doesn't become bottle. And if we have the proper ratio, it will become bottle. Ravashi, however, gives a whole different way of understanding our Mishnah. Again, the question is, the why in our Mishnah is the halacha that the animal that's osba hanoah or nebdeba aveira in that bottle? Says Rav Ashi, afil tami rabbanon. If we follow the opinion of rabbanon, who take the opinion that it has to be something that's always sold piece by piece for it not to become bottle. Here's a different reason why it doesn't become bottle. Because our Mishnah is talking about animals and bali chayim achshivi, and something that's choshev for a batli never becomes bottle. And as the Shach explains, in our previous year we spoke about a burial. That a barrier doesn't become bottle. But as we also explained in our previous year, the animal of our Mishnah doesn't fall into the category of a barrier. And therefore, our Gemara is teaching us that there's a new category. That even if something doesn't qualify to be a barrier, if it's a Bali Chaim, if it's an animal, it also, by Batli, it doesn't become bottle. But as the Shach goes on to explain, and the Shach and the Shochnach really says it, only a Bal Chayim, which is a live animal, doesn't become bottle. However, if it's not a live animal, therefore it's no longer considered in the category of Bal Chai, and it would become bottle. The Trumas Adeshin discusses a case where somebody discovered his wheat was infested with worms. So he says, if you take away the wheat that was affected, that's visibly affected, what you could do with the rest of the wheat is grind it into flour, because any worms that will have remained will flee when they're put into the grinder. And even, he continues, if some worms remain in the wheat, they're going to become bottle when they're ground into the flour. There's a problem of a mevatel islachatchila. So how are you allowed to grind up those worms to avoid the problem of eating a worm? And says the Trumas Adeshin, since grinding wheat is what's generally done to make flour, it's not that I'm grinding the wheat because I want to be mevatel the isser. I'm grinding the wheat because I just want to make flour, and therefore it's not considered a bitul isser l'chatchila, even though the worms end up getting ground up. Asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so why can't we apply the Trumas Adeshin's Pesach in a case of our animal, where our animal, that's usser, became mangled with other animal? Why don't we say that we should shech all the animals, since shechita is certainly what's normally done to the animals, so it should be considered bitul isser l'chatchila. And as I said a moment ago, the issue of a bal chai not becoming bottle is only when the animal is alive. Here we'll have shechted the animal, so it's no longer bal chai, and the din that a bal chai doesn't become bottle won't be applicable. Because of this question, Rabbi Akiva Eiger holds that the heter to grind the wheat is only in a case where there's a suffet, if there is any worms left in the wheat. But in a situation where we know that there are worms for sure in the wheat, even though the purpose of my grinding the wheat is what I normally do, since for sure by grinding the wheat we're going to be mevatel esel chatchila, a very bechumra, it's going to be considered bittel esel chatchila. And that's why in our case too, when we know that there's an animal that's usser amongst these animals, even though I'm just shechting the animal, which is what is normally done, it will still fall into the category of bittel esel chatchila and will be usser. Furthermore, there's an interesting Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin discusses the following situation. We know that a candle that was used for Hanukkah is usher to be used for anything else. It's chutzul mitzvah. So he discusses a question where we had one candle that was used for Hanukkah, and that candle got mixed up with other candles. Now, he explains that candle, ostensibly, is a davar shebe minyan. Because on Hanukkah, we just don't like any haphazard amount of candles. We specifically light the amount of candles that we need for each night of Hanukkah. And therefore, it should be considered a davar shebe minyan. That we've learned, a davar shebe minyan doesn't become bottled. The Trumas Hadeshin himself tries to suggest that maybe it shouldn't be considered a davar shebe minyan for a number of reasons. First, he wants to say that it's only considered a davar shebe minyan because I have a chiyuv to light Hanukkah lech, not because it is inherently chashuv, it's just one candle. Is that still going to be considered a davar shebe minyan? She says it doesn't make a difference. Even if it's only a davar shebe minyan because I need it for the mitzvah, that is enough to make it be considered a davar shebe minyan. Furthermore, he suggests that maybe something is only considered a davar shebe minyan is that even when it falls into the mixture, it still retains its significance. What is the example he gives? The example he gives is something that we're going to discuss, a situation that we're going to discuss later in the parak, where a coin of Avodah Zarah got mixed up with other coins. So he says that a coin is chashuv, a coin is significant even when it's part of the mixture. Each coin has its own significance. But a candle, once it's part of a whole box of candles, each candle itself is not considered something that should be considered significant, and maybe therefore loses the category of davar shebe minyan. He says it doesn't make a difference. Once something falls into, and he questions this, but the halacha that the Pesach can say is that once something is considered a davar shebe minyan, it always retains that status of being a davar shebe minyan. As we begin the next sugya, we need to say a word of introduction. All of us are certainly familiar with the concept of roiv, which is a fundamental concept in halacha, that we follow the roiv. There are two different types of roiv. There's a roiv, which we know as bittel b'roiv. That means, if something usher falls in to a large group of heter, whatever the halachic required ratio is, Shishim, 60 to 1, 100 to 1, 200 to 1, we say counts of a bittel b'roiv. What does bittel b'roiv under those circumstances teach us? Bittel b'roiv says that since most of this mixture is mutter, we look at the entire mixture as being one unit of mutter. Then there's a different type of roiv, that which is known as kol d'parish merubah parish. Kol d'parish merubah parish tells us that we have something that separates itself from a group, and there are different categories in that group. We could assume that anything that left the group left from the majority, because statistically it's a fair assumption to say that that's where this item that separated itself from the group, that is the identity of that item. However, there is another halacha which is an important part of today's shiur, known as kol kavur kemechtza mechtzadami. The classical example of kol kavur kemechtza mechtzadami is where we have in a town 10 butcher shops, 9 are kosher and 1 is not. So at first glance, we should say that we should follow the rights. And if somebody went to a butcher shop, and we don't know that he go to the kosher butcher shop or to non-kosher butcher shop, Rav ostensibly should tell us that he went to the kosher butcher shop. Comes along the halacha of kol kavul kemechza mechzadami and says that we look at anything that's firmly in its place, even if there's a majority one way or the other, it's as if it's 50-50. So if we have our case of the 10 butcher shops, so each Roy, we would seem to think, would say that he probably bought kosher meat when there are 9 kosher butcher shops. Kol kavul kemechza mechza tells us that we should look at it like a 50-50 situation. So it's a real suffix, it's a real question, and it's a suffix deraisa, and therefore we have to be machmer and say that the meat that this person went to a butcher shop and bought would be awesome. What does Kol the Parish Merubah Parish tell us? Kol the Parish Merubah Parish tells us that if it wasn't that I went to the butcher shop and bought meat, and now I don't recall that I go to the kosher butcher shop, to the non-kosher butcher shop. Rather, I find a piece of meat on the floor in this town, and I don't know if it's kosher or not. Kol the Parish Merubah Parish tells us we could safely assume that it's kosher because we say that it probably came from the kosher butcher shop. Of course, the Rishonim tell us that we need to understand how do we reconcile the concept of kol kavua kemechza mechza with the concept that we just mentioned a moment ago, that we follow the roiv, that if something fell into a group, we look at the roiv of what's in that group. Aren't these two concepts contradictory? Answer the Rishonim, there's a very big difference. When something falls into a taruvus, we can't identify any one piece. That means, leaving aside the issues of chaticha uluskabit, etc. But if I have a piece of non-kosher meat that fell into many non-pieces of kosher meat, I can't identify which is the kosher meat and which is the non-kosher meat. And therefore, we say that we go after the roiv. And if roiv of the meat in this taruvus is kosher, we can eat the meat. Kavua kemechza mechzadami says that we have 10 distinct butcher shops. Each butcher shop is identifiable. The 9 kosher butcher shops are identifiable. The 10th non-kosher butcher shop is identifiable. Since they're identifiable, there we don't say roiv, but rather we say kol kavur kemechza mechza domi. I asked the Rishonim, if so, how would we apply the concept of the kol kavur kemechza mechza domi in our Gemara, where we're talking about the animal that got mixed up with all the other animals that are, and we don't know which one. And we're saying, we're learning in our Gemara that we're going to try to apply the concept of kol kavua to our Mishnah, but this shouldn't be kavua because we can't identify which is the problematic animal versus all the other animals. To which the Rishonim respond, going back to what we learned a moment ago, that since an animal is a bal chai, and the Gemara taught us that something that's a bal chai is choshev, and given that it's choshev, even though it's not independently discernible, that still tells us to follow the concept of kol kavur kemechza mechza domi. Interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss is now that we discussed our issue of the 10 butcher shops, 9 kosher and 1 non-kosher, and somebody went to the butcher shop, and therefore we will have to be machmer. What will be the halacha if the one butcher shop that sells kosher sells, we have a case where we have 9 non-kosher butcher shops, 1 kosher butcher shop, that one kosher butcher shop sells more meat than all the other 9 combined. The question could go either way. Would that make a difference in halacha? The Sharia frame says absolutely, we have to take that into consideration. The Knesset Yecheskel, the Noi Yehuda said that the concept of the kol kavur kemechza mechza domi says that we look at each butcher shop and we don't take into consideration the amount of meat that's being sold by the butcher shops. Another interesting question that the Paiskim can discuss is what would be the situation where there are 10 butcher shops in this community and all 10 are known to be kosher.
So then there's certainly no problem, even if you don't remember which butcher shop you went to. After you went to a butcher shop, and it doesn't really make a difference which one you thought, it turns out that we discover that one of the butcher shops was selling non-kosher meat. Do we say that since, when is this question coming up? The question is only coming up after you bought the meat. And since the question only arises after you bought the meat, this should be a situation of called the parish, Meruba parish. And since most of the butcher shops sell kosher meat, it should be fine. Or do we say, no, you went to the butcher shop, and the butcher shop is considered kavua, and therefore, it's going to be a case of kavua kamechza, mechzadami, and the meat will be also. The Ram's opinion is that we could be lenient, because by the time the question came up, it was after called the parish, Meruba parish, and therefore we could be lenient. The Rashba seems to be machmer. He's saying it doesn't make a difference when the question came up. We have to look at the actual events. And what happened here is you went to a Mokum Kavua, and whenever you went to Mokum Kavua, we say the concept of called Kavua, Kemechza Mechzada. Another interesting question that I saw the Paiskim discuss. Did the Rechayim discuss this question? Apparently, in the time of the Rechayim, they discovered that there was a type of coffee that was processed, that the way it was manufactured would be, they would add lard to the coffee, which is obviously would obviously render the coffee non-kosher. Most factories that manufactured coffee, of course, did not use such a process. But there were some factories that purchased the manufactured coffee that way. And now a person goes to the store, goes to a shop to buy coffee. How do we look at it? There's really two ways of looking at this question. Do we look at it from the perspective of the shopkeeper who went to a factory, obviously he doesn't remember which factory, or we can't determine which factory he went to buy the coffee, and since the shopkeeper went to buy the coffee, he bought it from a kavua, and it's considered called kavua kamechza machzadami. Or do we look at it from the perspective of the customer who's now buying coffee? And when he's buying coffee now, he's buying coffee which is a parish. And the coffee it's parish, we could say called the parish, Meruba parish. And most companies don't make coffee with lard. The Rechaim seems to take a strict approach and says we look at it from the perspective of the shopkeeper who went to a factory to buy it, and therefore it's a situation of kokavul kamechza machzadami. It seems that many other paiskim disagreed with the Rechaim. The Mefarshim go on to explain that this concept of kol kavu kamechza machzadami could also be applied in other areas. The Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says kulan niskarim b'skira achas, all of Klal Yisrael is judged together. Ask the Mefarshim why. Shouldn't all of us be judged, each one separately, for our actions? Explain the Mefarshim. By putting us all together, we become kavua. We become kavua together. By becoming kavua together, we now fall into the category, as we're now saying, of mechza mechza. We're 50-50. And we know that once we achieve a situation of mechza mechza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matei klapei chesed, and that's how we're able to come out favorably in the din on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim explain that was what Haman was saying to Achashverosh. That even Achashverosh was saying that even if the Jewish people are the minority, but we're kavua, and once we're kavua, kol kavua kamechza mechzadami. To which Haman responded, Yeshna am echad mefuzar u'mefurad ben agonim. Mefuzar, we're not kavua, we're not in one place, and therefore we don't have the category of something that's kavua. Furthermore, Haman Harasha said, we are mefurad. What is mefurad? Mefurad means we're like a preda. A preda means a mule. A mule, we know, can't produce children. We too are not, said Haman to Achashverosh, Klai Yisrael is like a mefur, they're like a preda, they're not choshev, and therefore they can become batel, they can become nullified, you could destroy them. Furthermore, we can understand now a pasuk in Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, and it's considered one of the neshoimis, one of the ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avraham Avinu, Lech lecha mi'artzecha, leave your home. And it's considered, as the Medrash describes, a tremendous neshoim for Avraham Avinu. Ask the Mefarshim, if somebody had HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking directly to them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling them explicitly, go move, who would not listen to that direct instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is Avraham Avinu given so much credit for the Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha? Explain the Mefarshim. Avraham Avinu was the only person who served Hashem in his time. And therefore, he was certainly in a status of bittul. What avoided him from becoming bittul? The fact that he was kavur, that he was kavur in his place. But here, HaKadosh Baruch was telling him, Lech Lecha, leave your kavius, and therefore, you'll be the only observant Jew, and once you're the only observant Jew, you're going to become bottle. That's what was the concern of Avraham Avinu, that was the Nesayin of Lech Lecha. Goes on the Imri Emes to explain, that not only do we look at all of Klai Yisrael that way, but every Jew, if every Jew in his own behavior and in his own hashkafa has a kvius that he's strong in his own observance, that creates that he himself is a kavua, and therefore, even if he doesn't act appropriately sometimes, that kvius will always remain, that he retains at least mechza mechza. One final word. We know that the Gemara says that after a person leaves the world, one of the first questions that he's asked when he comes to the Olam Emes is Kavata Itim L'Torah. Did you set aside time to learn? So the Farshim asks, of course it's an important question, because we all have an obligation to learn. We have Vishinantum Vanecho, Vigisa Bayonim Velaila. But the question is, why is the question specifically posed Kavata Itum Torah? What they should ask is, Lamadta Torah, did you learn Torah? Answer them affirmation. We know that most people, unfortunately, do not have the opportunity to spend most of their day learning. They only have time to learn specific shiurim, specific times. So that hour or so that a person learns a day, isn't it bottled in the rest of the day? 23 hours I didn't learn, and 1 hour I learned. That's why asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu of us, Kavata Itum HaTorah. Did you make it into a kvius? By making it into a kvius, we now say that it's called kavua kmechza mechzadami. And that 1 hour turns that kvius, if it turns into a kvius, doesn't become bottled. And that's why it's so important not just to learn, but to be kavua, to have a kvius item that will not become bottled. So, back to our sugya. Ask the Gemara, why in our Mishnah, where this one animal that is osa b'hano, or nebda b'aveira, got intermingled with all the other animals, does it not become bottled? Why don't we say, v'nimshach v'nikrav chad minayu, why don't we separate one animal away from all the other animals, and then say the name of called the parish, the name of parish, the river parish, say that the animal that we pulled away is from the roiv, and that we could safely assume that it's a fine animal. We could safely assume that each animal came from the majority, and therefore statistically it's fine. Nimshach, ask the Gemara, how could you say that? We have a situation of kavua, that all of these animals are together, and kol kavua kamechza mechzadon. Answers the Gemara, what we meant to say was, nechbeshinu denaydi, let's force all of the animals to move, and by forcing all of the animals to move, the name of kol de parish meru parish. And as the Rishonim explained, the first point of the Gemara was just to pull out one animal. And the Gemara said, pulling out one animal won't break the kviyas. And since pulling out one animal will not break the kviyas, we really haven't accomplished anything. So therefore what the Gemara says is move all of the animals. By moving all of the animals, we will have broken the kviyas. There won't anymore be a concept of kol kavur kamechza matzadami. And since there won't be a kviyas, we'll break the kviyas kamechza mechza, we'll follow the roif, and the roif are fine animals. Of course, as most Rishonim point out, we would have to, there's a problem of bitul isul chatchila by causing the animals to move. So they explained that it would have to be done in a way that we didn't directly move the animals. And according to many Rishonim, it would even have to be that these animals didn't move in front of us, because otherwise we would have a problem of bitul isul chatchila. Although there are Achronim, the Shoilameshiv, and the Beis Yitzchak, who suggest that since the purpose here is in order to bring up for a carbon, when do we say bitul isul chatchila? We only say there's a problem of bitul isul chatchila where, let's say, something non-kosher, where I have something non-kosher falling into a mixture with kosher, and I don't have enough kosher food to be mevatel the non-kosher, so I pour in more kosher food. So I'm doing that in order that I should be able to eat this entire mixture. That's called bitul isul chatchila. But here I'm doing it in order to be able to save these animals to be able to be used for kabbonis. There we don't say that issue of bitul isul chatchila. Amar Rava. So again, why don't we create a situation that all of the animals should move? Once all of the animals move, so we no longer have the concept of kol kavur kamechza mechzadami, and once we don't have a situation of kol kavur mechza mechzadami, we should have that called the parish, meruba parish, any animal that leaves, we could safely assume comes from the majority that are fine. Amar Rava, zeira shem yivol yutan bas akos v'yikavu. We're concerned that perhaps ten kohanim will at the same time be makriv 10 animals, and now if we're taking 10 animals, we're referring to a situation where 10 animals comprise the majority of the animals in the mixture. If we're going to be zoyrik the dam of the 10 animals at the same time, we're certainly being zoyrik dam of animal that's not kosher, and therefore we can't have such a situation. Ask the Gemara, Omlai Haum Rabban Larova, if that is considered a valid concern. El Me'ata Megisa Sura. Megisu means that once the animals are in the bowls, each animal has been put into, dam has been received in each bowl separately. Once we're following the concept of called the parish, Merubi parish, each bowl is kosher. So therefore, the fact that they afterwards get mixed together doesn't make a difference. And in fact, from here, many Rishonim make the assumption that once something becomes bottle and becomes mutter because it became bottle, it can never become usser afterwards. Answer the Gemara, Mishum Shem Yivog Yudkan Bas Achaz Zarku. We're concerned if each bowl was done separately, you're right. Each bowl is fine. We're concerned that the Gatanka Adam are going to work with these 10 animals all at the same time. And since they're being worked with at the same time, and we have a majority of animals, and therefore in this majority, there's certainly the non-kosher animal. Ask the Gemara, is that possible, that they should all happen at the same time? Elam Rava, Mishum Kavur. The concern here is a concern of Kavur. You're right. If we had a situation where the animals all moved, so the kavias was broken, and after the kavias was broken, each animal was separated by itself, we would be able to say call the parish meruba parish. Here we're concerned that the animal, that somebody's going to take the animal, one animal that's not kosher is going to get mixed up with a herd of kosher animals, and instead of going through all the proper procedures, he's going to take the animal, he's going to rely on roiv. And there we can't rely on roiv, because the situation of kol kavur kametz hametzah dami. Because of that, Chazal said that all the animals, especially Gzeir Chazal, that all the animals are osur. There was a very interesting question that was posed many years ago based on this Gemara. There was a slaughterhouse where 7 animals were slaughtered, and they all were kosher. The butcher came and took 2.5 animals from that group of 7 animals to take to his butcher shop. After the butcher took those 2.5 animals, the shaychet looked at the intestines of the animals, that all the intestines of all the animals were put in a tub together to be disposed of, and he discovered there was a needle in the intestines of one of those animals. So the animal from which those intestines, therefore was a treif animal. But obviously, he wasn't able to identify and determine from which of these animals that these intestines come. So the animals in the slaughterhouse are kavua. That's where they were. And therefore, all of those animals, we have a rule called kavua, kemetza metzadam. The animals that were removed from the slaughterhouse, and then we have the concept of called the parish, meruba parish. And since most of these animals, there was only one non-kosher animal, called the parish, meruba parish, we could be lenient. The question that was posed to the Prichadosh is, as I said, this butcher carried away 2.5 animals. So we have here half an animal that's left in the slaughterhouse, and half an animal that was taken by the butcher. Is it possible that half of one animal should be kosher, and half of that very same animal should be considered non-kosher? And the Prichadosh says that given all of the concepts that we learned in our Gemara, that on one hand there's a concept of called kavur kametzah metzadam, on the other hand there's a concept called the parish meruah parish, the piece of meat that's in the hands of the butcher called the parish meruah parish is kosher, and the other half of that very same animal that was left in the slaughterhouse on which we're going to apply the concept of kol kavur kametzah metzadam of that very same animal will be considered non-kosher.